Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Dave Erfley, publisher of The Junior Minor Junkie. We'll put a link to thejuniorminorjunkie.com down below where you can follow along with David's research and work. And Dave, it's always great having you on the show just to talk about our beleaguered precious metal sector, which actually, all things considered, has been doing pretty good over the last couple of weeks with all of the banking turbulence. We've seen a pullback today as we record this on Tuesday. We are in front of Powell's comments tomorrow, so we'll see what kind of volatility we get there. But just from taking a step back, Dave, when you saw the move over the last couple of weeks on the Silicon Valley Bank news that ratcheted into Signature Bank, that ratcheted into Silvergate Bank, and then eventually over the weekend into Credit Suisse and the wobbles there where UBS is taking them under and backstopped by the Swiss National Bank, gold and silver have gotten a bid as a safe haven. What's your takeaway from the last couple of weeks, Dave?
Yeah, it's been quite the ride. I mean, we saw the gold price go up $200 in a couple of weeks. So if I'm a professional trader and I see gold go up $200 in a couple of weeks and it's testing its upper weekly Bollinger Band and it's become extreme overbought on a weekly basis, I'm taking some profits, especially when you see the stock market bouncing and Janet Yellen basically coming out and recanting what she told a congressman last week today that, oh yeah, everything's going to be fine. Everybody's going to be made whole. Nobody's going to lose all their money. So it's been quite the ride. I know on Friday after she spoke with that congressman from Oklahoma and basically said, yeah, you know, we're only going to cover FDIC up to $250,000 per client, then $42 million came out of U.S. customers, withdrew $42 billion on Friday, which is basically $1 million a second for like 10 hours. So, you know, and then when the gold price, you know, ran up over $2,000 Sunday night when everybody was sleeping, the Fed and other banks got together and started to do a massive bailout. You know, the Fed's balance sheet went up almost $300 billion. So, yeah, the gold price reacted as it should react, and the gold shares acted as they should react, unlike the way they reacted during 2008 when we had the global financial crisis. Because basically, when we had the global financial crisis in 2008, we had gold and silver and gold stocks already have this huge, massive move going into it. So people had all these profits in gold and silver, and it was liquid, so they sold it. But we had the exact opposite happen into this banking crisis, where we had massive capitulation into it. So it's been really interesting how this is playing out. And I know all of you out there that are in this sector, like myself, you're getting frustrated that the juniors are still not reacting to this, all because the gold prices yet again ran up to $2,000 and reversed sharply. So, you know, until that monthly gold price close above that magic number of $2,000, I think the juniors are still not going to react to what's going on, because basically the generalist investor left about a decade ago and they haven't returned. So, but this is all giving you, you know, an opportunity to get into the best stocks and have a lot of patience and wait till this plays out, because everything is lining up here. I mean, gold made a 52-week high close last week, and I don't see anybody mentioning that. And it's also made a 52-week high close versus stocks, versus bonds, versus bank stocks, versus oil. It's outperforming everything. And if you take a look at foreign currencies, gold's already breaking out in euros, in Australian dollars, in British pounds, in yen. So, you know, gold's doing what it should, but the generalist investor still hasn't caught on. I mean, you really don't see that many headlines. The headlines you're seeing is Bitcoin going back up again. I don't see many headlines of gold hitting $2,000 an ounce.
Dave, I think that's such a great point, because all things considered, when you look at how gold has performed against other asset classes, as you just outlined there, or even other currencies, if you want to consider it an uncurrency, it's doing all the kinds of things it does before it breaks to new high. And even gold in the 1900s, it's not a schlock price for the sector. You know, if you're a producer and you can't make money at $1,900 gold, then something is wrong. But we did knock on the $2,000 door again just last week, really overnight, over the weekend. And it seems like nobody cares. Like you
Yeah.
say, we get the Bitcoin news, we get news on the banks, but nobody notices what's happening in the precious metal sector, including the mining stocks. And I just have a question for how you're reading that, because it seems like, yeah, once we get over 2,000 on the monthly close, that would bring in some generalists, and they've not been around for a decade. But what about people that are actually following the sector? Not that there's many of us left, but the people that are, why is there not a little bit more action in the mining stocks as the price of the metal goes higher and the price of energy, like oil and nat gas, and a lot of supplies, cement, lumber, everything else, are going down? Why are the margins not getting better when the narrative we heard all of last year, Dave, was, oh, the margins are getting squeezed? Isn't the opposite of that happening now?
Absolutely. I mean, look at the last time gold was at $2,000 an ounce. The last time gold was bumping up against $2,000 an ounce, we had the Ukraine. It was doing so on the Ukraine war, and oil was at $130 a barrel, right? And oil is basically half of producers' input costs. So oil is half the price now, and yet the stocks, their stock prices are a lot less than they were when the oil price was $130 a barrel, while the gold price was near $2,000 an ounce. A lot of these share prices have been cut down considerably since then. So this is just a huge opportunity. And this is the way this sector loves to confuse people. I've done this before many times where, I've taken the speculative risk of accumulating as many of the quality juniors as I can into a major 7-year cycle low and been frustrated while doing so, because I know from experience of having not in in the past, it's much better to be frustrated while you're accumulating these things, waiting for a breakout, than it is to wait for a breakout and then having to deal with FOMO. Because we've had some FOMO come into the gold price, but we've yet to see FOMO come into the mining sector. It's not even close. So, it's better to just go ahead and accumulate, in a cash account and wait and be patient, because you're eventually going to be rewarded. Because if you take a look at the long-term gold price, it's got a 12-year cup and handle, and there's even a cup and handle inside the 3-year handle. So it ran up, like I said, it ran up a couple $100 in a couple of weeks, and pros are taking money off the table as they should. And this is all healthy action, the gold price coming down here. And we got Fed speak coming up tomorrow, and they've painted themselves into this corner, and they're going to have to raise another 0.25%. Yeah, that's already priced in, but we don't know what they're going to say afterwards. Are they going to hint of the prospect of rate cuts later this year? Because the market's already priced in rate cuts starting in June and 100 basis point rate cut by the end of the year. So, is this projection going to be confirmed by the Fed tomorrow? Or are they going to maintain that they're going to try to keep this fantasy of bringing the inflation rate down to 2% before they stop raising rates? Because, I mean, sorry, that's impossible. So what's the message going to be? And that's the uncertainty that's clouding around right now. And like I said, I mean, basically Janet Yellen has to take all the brunt of this, because all these Fed heads haven't been able to say a word because they're on blackout. So Jerome Powell's had a free pass up until now since this banking crisis started, but tomorrow he's going to be on the hot seat.
Yeah, Dave, tomorrow Powell is going to be on the hot seat. And it's convenient that they had a blackout during all these crazy turbulence from the banking woes. But it'll be interesting to see how the market reacts. Usually there's a lot of volatility afterwards. Sometimes there's some head fakes too, where things go one direction and then flip-flop the other direction quickly. So it'll be interesting to see the wake of the Powell comments and how people look at the expectations for either a pause or cuts or what the balance of the year looks like in lieu of all this new information. But let's just say, Dave, that the markets sell off further for the precious metals, and we have a little bit more to go in a corrective move before the next leg higher. From a big picture standpoint, as someone that's been in this sector for decades, when you look at setups like this, are you still looking at the lows we saw last year at 16, 18 in gold and 17, 40 in silver as probably the lows? And would you be encouraged to accumulate into any corrective move we saw if we do see something happen over the next few weeks as a result of this Fed meeting?
Yes, I mean, on a monthly basis, you had a triple bottom at 1620, and we had a huge move that is being that was corrected 50% down to 1800. What it went from 1620 to 1975, technically, it's played out pretty expectedly. When you have a move like that, a 50% correction is standard, and that's what we had. And now we've had a huge move to the upside that was fueled by FOMO, which is coming off a little bit as the banking crisis has subsided for now for a little bit, because we know this is not over yet. The Fed is going to have to bail a lot of people out via, the FDIC is going to have to bail a lot of people out, and they don't have enough to cover it. So, I'm not a credit analyst like our friend Rick Rule, but I could see that they're in a lot of trouble. And if you look at these banking indexes, they're pretty ugly. And, just keep your eye on gold in relation to all those things I mentioned before, in relation to stocks, in relation to bonds, in relation to banking stocks, and it's showing that gold is starting to do its job here. And on top of this, you also have, partisan politics coming in here, where President Trump is expected to be indicted any day now by the Manhattan DA. They're even building fences around it right now, waiting for the outrage when they do. And on the other side of the aisle, you've got House Republicans building a case to impeach Biden. So, this is just drawing a divide. People are losing more and more faith in government, losing more and more faith in the Federal Reserve's failed policies. So gold can only go higher from here, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Dave, we've got geopolitical, we've got financial risk, we've got a lot of uncertainty, not just in the US, but on the global stage. It's not like anybody else is lighting on fire. We still don't have China reopened. We've got all these different catalysts up in the air. But in a year last year where they said gold was no longer a safe haven, or at least some publications claim that, we have seen gold pick up the safe haven bid once again when things really get dicey, just like we did when the Ukraine war started off, as you mentioned. So when there's real uncertainty, people still turn to gold and to a lesser degree silver. But when you look at the gold and silver stocks, a lot of people, as we mentioned earlier, are still very frustrated at the performance. At this point, if we do see any more weakness in the sector, and it is a time to accumulate, just walk us through again the kinds of companies that you like to follow, the kind of companies where you see that there's an edge as we are set up currently with this kind of high metals price environment, but low mining stock valuation environment.
Well, basically, companies that have weathered the storm really well so far. These are companies that are helmed by serially successful management teams. They have access to capital. They raise money at the right times. They're de-risking the huge projects in top-tier jurisdictions. I've pretty much stayed away from drill plays for over a year now, because there really hasn't been any sense to take extra risk in drill plays. All these companies that have already found considerable deposits and they're de-risking them, they're being traded, for less than $40 an ounce in the ground, and some even less than $10 an ounce in the ground. So, I've said this, many times before, where that's just the nature of this sector. It's sentiment is everything, and the sentiment has yet to return. And when that sentiment comes in, when it happens. It's like a light switch goes on, and we haven't seen that yet. And we're left to speculate as to what the catalyst will be. And if we get a monthly slash quarterly close above 2,000 next Friday, that would be a huge, huge signal for everybody to come into the sector. I mean, if you're a fund manager, right now, a lot of these funds, they haven't protected themselves, with gold. There's been no reason to go into gold. It's gone sideways for 3 years while everything else has gone up. So why the hell do I want to be in gold? Well, now it's outperforming everything. And if you see that outperformance, on a quarterly basis and a monthly slash quarterly basis, that would be huge. They'll be forced to come into this sector. And we all know how tiny this sector is and how quickly it can move. So that's a very real possibility, but we just have to wait and see. If it doesn't, if the monthly close doesn't happen in March, it may happen in April, it may happen in May. I don't know, but I know it's coming, and I'm fairly confident gold's going to break out above $2,000 an ounce at some point this year.
Yeah, Dave, it's one of those issues where it's not an if, it's a when situation. We
Right.
know that gold is setting up and poised technically. When you look at the charts, when you look at the daily, weekly, monthly charts, even the quarterly charts, it's poised to eventually do a breakout this year, unless something dramatic happens that sucks everything down. But even in that environment, it's been diverging from equities. It's been diverging from bonds. It's
Right.
been diverging from other asset classes. So it probably still would outperform just like it did last year. So in that kind of an environment where it's a when question, not an if question, and you look at these mining stocks and you look at how they're being valued to the ground, what would you say to investors that are kind of in that negative Nancy mode? They're, hey, it's never going to happen again, guys. And maybe ounces in the ground will never be valued like they were before. Maybe mining stocks won't get that generalist investor because everybody went to crypto and to other sectors and AI. Maybe this is never going to happen again. What would you say to the defeatists that we hear out there that think this time is different and that this time maybe we won't see mining stocks have that leverage to the metals prices that they historically have?
Yeah, well, in my experience, when I get that feeling in the pit of my stomach, like, this is never going to happen. My God, look, it should have broken out after this happened. It should have broken out after this happened, and it's not doing it. I'm just going to sell. I'm done. I'm frustrated, you know, with this position or that position or the sector entirely. As soon as you hit that sell button, it almost happens every time, where the next day, the next week, or the next few weeks, that's when the sector starts to take off, and then you're stuck on the sidelines in FOMO. And that's the last place you want to be. First of all, A, shouldn't even be in this sector if you have a lot of debt and you haven't paid it off yet. And B, if you do decide to come in this sector, only come in this sector with investment capital. You know, don't use capital that you're going to need to have to eat or pay your bills with soon. So, you know, that helps a lot. You know, that takes a lot of the stress out. This is just my extra savings that I want to grow. And that's what you use to invest in this sector with, because, you know, it's definitely what it advertises. It is. It's very high risk, but it's very high reward. And a lot of people are found out how high risk it is over the past year or so. Because, I mean, a lot of us were expecting it to break out a lot sooner than it's about to break out now, which is the reason why I know a lot of these juniors continue to go lower, because most people have just given up. You know, the capital markets tighten up. You know, we've heard about how M&A needs to continue to happen in the sector. Mergers, especially mergers of equals, these companies have to merge because, you know, there's only so many checks that the capital markets can write, you know, and that's all true. But all it takes, if you're accumulating a basket of these things, you know, if you're down 30 or 40% on several, which, you know, I am, I'm down 40% on a couple, I'm down 30, 35% on a couple more. But I look at them and I say to myself, if I sell them, what am I going to do with the money? You know, where am I going to put it? And if I'm selling here, I'm selling a company that's trading at 20, 30 ounces in the ground in a safe jurisdiction, and they've got multi-million ounces. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense for me to sell. It's just, you just have to wait. And that's what this sector is. It's a waiting game. I mean, you really have to sharpen your pencil and do all the right research and get into the right companies, because you want to be holding the right companies when this thing starts to take off. If you're holding the wrong companies, then, you know, your position just going to sit there. If the company needs money, or if the deposit isn't high margin enough, or if it's not big enough, or if the land package isn't big enough, or if the management team isn't savvy enough to where they've raised capital at the wrong time, they've blown out the share structure, you know, there's any number of things. Because basically right now, Shad, the only people left in this sector is pretty much smart money. So, you know, you see a lot of these companies that they really haven't moved much because the smart money is waiting to add to these positions on a breakout, or they know the right positions to get into. They're just waiting for a signal to come in. And that's what you want to make sure. You make sure you get into the right ones, because everybody, we're all waiting for this to happen. We know it's poised to happen. We just don't know when it's going to happen, what the catalyst is going to be, and when that catalyst takes place.
Some very cogent points there, Dave, from the Junior Miner Junkie, and hope that's some words that give some investors some room for pause as far as how they're managing their portfolio, how they're looking at deploying their cash, and having the patience to let this play through, because things can go from very oversold and terrible sentiment to very overbought and a jubilation sentiment in a very short stretch of time. And if you're not in the position with quality companies that are going to capture that move, there is nothing worse than waiting all this time and enduring the pain and then not seeing the gain because you're positioned in the wrong kinds of companies. So definitely food for thought there, Dave. If people like getting Dave's thoughts, definitely click on the link below. It takes you over to the Junior Miner Junkie. And Dave, we'll see what Powell says tomorrow and how the results shape up later this week. And looking forward to chatting about that again next week.
Me too, Shad. Talk to you then.